Well, welcome to WestPlatteSports.com. My name is Jay Nauer. Along with me, I have Coach Jim Newsted of the West Platte Blue Jays. And Coach, looking at the opening commentary, that's fun to do tonight with a big victory over Plattsburgh last week, a shutout victory, 36-0 in KCI action. That's one heck of a way to start off KCI play, Coach.
That's a heck of a way to start off. I was really proud of our defense and with Coach Swope, our defensive coordinator. They had a good running back, number two. I forget what his name is now because I've been a little lost in kids here the last couple of days, but he ran for over 100 yards in one game, and we held him to 12 yards in our game. He had 12 yards rushing, and he only gave up 45 yards passing. But again, they had a total of 57 yards total on offense. That's a pretty good defense performance, if you ask me. And I was really proud of all the kids. I mean, we had a pretty easy plan. Our plan was easy. We're just going to stop number two, and that's what we did. And they had like five run plays they ran the ball to and went, and we could work on all five of those plays. And I thought the kids were really in tune with what we were doing last week. They had a great week of practice, and it really showed in the game.
Yeah, it seems like, Coach, we had just as many highlights as far as what we had on the video crew on the defensive side of the ball than we did on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, defense played great. I mean, our offense was spectacular, too. I mean, we had 377 yards of total offense, rushed for 303 yards, and we threw for 74. So didn't have to do a whole lot of passing because we were doing so well in the run, but when we did pass, we pretty proficient in our passing game. So Brandon James had a heck of a game for us at running back. He had 19 carries for 132 yards, which is about a 7-yard average, with 3 touchdowns. And Trent Taylor, like I said last week, we had to find a way to get Trent Taylor the ball more. He put in the backfield, and he had 10 rushes for 100 yards and a touchdown also. So with him running outside and Brandon James running inside, they kind of had to pick and choose what they were going to stop and where they were trying to stop to keep the advantage of the other. So us going under center for the first time all year, I think, caught him off guard. We've been shocking all year. We knew we were going to go under center sooner or later. Week three just seemed to have the time to do it. So Washington's going to have to work against shotgun stuff and under center stuff. So really proud of the boys in offense. My offensive lineman blocked as well as I was blocked. We had some huge holes there.
Yeah, Coach, we also mentioned that while the game was being played, how that was a new look. To have a quarterback directly behind center, and certainly that change seemed to work pretty well for you here once again. Now, your defensive play, your defensive line, I thought they did an excellent job too. We saw a lot of penetration situations that really caused some confusion there in the running game of your opponent.
Yeah, we did some changes, like I said, on Friday night when we talked. Didn't have enough depth at the D line, and my old linemen were getting tired from playing both the offensive line and D line. So we had to make a decision, and we decided to move a couple of our bigger, faster linebackers like Emmett Sullivan and Will Finke to D line. And we utilized their quickness, and they are strong enough to hold their own, but they also have quickness. So we had to break in some new linebackers. Cameron Williams had to play linebackers, start the game for us first time. Mason Montez and Dublin Farnham were my other linebackers. So we took advantage of their depth that we have at linebacker and put it at D line. So it kind of makes our depth at linebacker a little short right now, but it's working for us right now.
You bet. Well, Coach, any other performances that we need to be aware of from the last Friday?
Lamar Henderson had 9 tackles.
He did, yeah.
4 for tackles for loss and a sack. So that puts him at 5 sacks in 3 games. Emmett Sullivan had 3 sacks. He had a good night with 5 tackles. Trent Taylor had 4 tackles, and I think he's got an interception in all 3 games now. I think he's got 4 interceptions on the season.
Wow.
So he's a pretty good defensive back for us. All my linebackers average about 5 yards of 5 tackles a game. Cameron Williams ran the ball for us well. He only had 30 yards rushing, but every time he got in the game, we had a short field. Mason Montez had 25 yards rushing. Mason Montez also had 26 yards receiving. Emmett Sullivan had 42 yards receiving. He spread the ball around very well, and it kind of makes it hard to defend when you have so many weapons. So hopefully all those weapons will be able to produce again this week against Boston.
Yeah, our view was a little bit obstructed maybe, but it looked like that one interception by Trent Taylor, that looked like a one-hander from our view. Was that a one-hander?
It was.
Yeah, that was an amazing play there. But you bet, Coach. Sound like you had a lot of performances. Blue Jays playing very well, balanced on both sides of the ball. And, Coach, once again, congratulations on a shutout victory, 36-0 to start off KCI play. Well, we can certainly.
Thank you. It was very exciting.
You bet. Well, certainly, Coach, going to our next section, I didn't get a chance to talk with you about this before we went on the air tonight, but I'm really interested in the question we have. We have these come in from viewers once in a while. What makes a great football player?
Well, the first thing is persistence. I've had lots of good football players by the time their juniors and seniors become good football players, and they weren't when they were younger. Persistence is the name of the game. You have to stay at it. You never know what's going to happen between a 14-year-old by the time they're 18 and they get testosterone in their body. So we have a lot of people come on. You know, for common examples, Lamar and Tanner DeHaven and a couple of our linemen, I'm sure they weren't standouts in 7th and 8th grade, but they're turning to big football players now. But persistence is one of the main things. And you have to have Bellevue coaching going. I mean, there's lots of things that go on in a football game. There's lots of changes and adjustments you have to do. And you have to be able to understand the game a little bit and understand what a coach is trying to tell you. So, I mean, whatever I tell them this week in practice, if I see something different on the football field on Friday night, I might expect them to make a change quickly. And if they can't make those changes, then it's hard for them to be good football players. So you got to have some persistence and you got to have some coachability. And the last thing I would say is accountability. You have to be there for your team. A good leader is someone that's accountable. You can go out there and play a good game once in a while, but the guy that comes out and works tail off every day at practice, every day all summer, and every game, that's the person that's accountable, and that kind of becomes a trend for other players to be accountable. So your leadership is why what you do, not what you say. So I would say those are the three things that make a good football player in my mind.
Coach, I knew you were going to come around to accountability because that certainly has been a great theme for your team this year, and you're absolutely right, and certainly I really enjoyed those tidbits on what makes a great football player. Well, I tell you what, we've got a team that's had several good football players over the years, the Lawson Cardinals. They'll be coming into Rudolph Eskridge Stadium, Joe Carlson Field here Friday night. We'll be back to talk about the Cardinals right after this. The Shane Barty Law Offices, located in downtown Weston, Missouri, is the place to go for your legal needs, specializing in estate planning, elder care, probate, and real estate attorney needs. For the best representation by attorney, it's to your best interest to turn to the Shane Barty Law Offices, located at 421 Main Street, Weston, Missouri, or give them a call for an appointment at 816-386-4025. At Big Buck Supply Company, they have an approach that supplies the landowner and hunter with food plot blends, feeders, mineral supplements, and blinds to enhance your hunting experience. Big Buck Supply Company's goal is to provide you with our proven products needed to manage your hunting area to create a healthier deer herd and hunting experience. Check out their products online at bigbucksupply.com or give Chris Hyatt a call at 816-914-5972 and ask for an appointment to visit Big Buck Supply Showroom in Weston, Missouri. Reese Nichols, Weston Bend, provides a remarkable home buying and selling experience. If you're looking for residential, urban, rural properties, or historic homes in the West Platte area, you need to contact the good people at Reese Nichols, Weston Bend for the best personal service that you deserve. Do yourself a favor and give them a call at 816-640-2600 or check out their website at reesenichols.com/Weston. Or better yet, stop by their offices at 18272 Missouri State Highway 45 at Weston. The Tin Kitchen is the top barbecue destination in the West Platte area and has also established itself to be in the top 20 barbecue restaurants in Kansas City. Tin Kitchen's menu features pecan wood smoked meats straight from the pit, slow smoked for up to 16 hours. It features pulled pork, brisket, chicken, and award-winning barbecue ribs. Stop by the Tin Kitchen at 509 Main Street in Weston, Missouri for a fantastic barbecue dining experience or check out their catering menu at www.tin-kitchen.com or call them at 816-640-0100. Well, welcome back to the Coach Jim Newstead Show. Jay Nauer here with WestPlatteSports.com. Coach, the next opponent certainly is someone that we've had struggles with over the years. Even when we've won state championships, we've had trouble beating this particular team, the Lawson Cardinals. The Lawson Cardinals have had a great program over many, many years. And, Coach, Lawson comes in here in the usual situation. They're having their challenges so far this year. What you see in the scouting report for the Lawson Cardinals, Coach?
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is they're a lot better team than what the record shows at 0-2. They played two really good teams. They played Higginsville. Higginsville is probably one of the better teams in Class 2 after watching film on them. They are loaded. They played Mid-Buck. Mid-Buck, you know, is loaded. They have a bunch of seniors playing that have been playing since they've been sophomores. So they've had two really good football teams they had to play. They also had a little problem with the COVID, so they had some time where they had to sit out, so they're not quite in shape yet. You know, most people are we're going to the game with three games under our belt, and they've got two games under the belt, but only like 1 week of practice with those two games. Well, that kind of hurt them a little bit as far as getting in shape, but, I told the kids this week, and I really mean it, I said this is kind of their turnaround game for the year. I'm sure their coach Dunn is telling them that, you know, they're 0-2, this is their chance to get back on track and turn their season around. Kind of the same lecture I gave to our kids after losing to South Harrison. Plattsburgh is kind of our turnaround game. We got to come out and play a good game. So I expect Washington to come here on fire, expecting this to be one of the biggest games of the year. I know usually that's not what it's like when they play West Platte, but this is going to be a big game for them. So I told our kids, we have to weather the storm early. We have to stick with them in the game early and then let the game get down to later in the game, and then they're going to tie it out and remember that they're 0-2. So that's kind of our game plan, is to stick with them early and hang with them and finish at the end. This will not be something to decide in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they've run the wing T for years. Coach, would that be an advantage since now West Platte has adopted that type of offense, or at least part of it? Would that be easier for you to teach these kids to defend against?
Coach Dunn and I have been running the wing T for many years. Yeah. I know Coach Dunn well. I was at Macon. I was at the Clarence Cannon Conference where his dad was at Macon. So we've crossed paths many a times. Our offenses are very similar. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. But I think our kids have figured out that they're going to run wing tees and wing tee offense. It's going to be hard to tell where the ball's at. So yeah. I've given each kid a read key. I tell them not to watch the backfield action, or watching guards, or watching tackles or tight ends. Everyone has their read, and I tell the kids they have to do their 1/11th in order for us to win. If they try to figure out where the ball's at, they're going to be wrong. They got to do their read key. So we're going to have to be disciplined, and they're going to have to be disciplined on us. So usually when you get two wing tee teams playing each other, they know kind of how to stop each other. So it comes down to who's going to play the best.
Yeah, for those people listening to this broadcast, getting ready to watch the game coming up, it's kind of hard for those teams that have run the wing tee effectively over years, like Lawson has. It's very hard, and I speak from this from a broadcaster's point of view, it's very hard sometimes to figure out where the ball is. And but that's the characteristic of a team that's done it for a long time. And we make jokes about it in the press box that Lawson, once the child is born, they're learning the wing tee over there. But that'll be something for the, as far as a spectator to watch. It's very difficult to watch. Really got to concentrate to figure out where that ball is. And of course, West Platte's got to use their keys as well. Well, Coach, as far as your keys, I believe we've already mentioned that. Well, we'll talk about the KCI conference play and the schedule we have coming up. You got East Buchanan 2-0 at Penny. They're 3-1. That's the other two teams that are with West Platte undefeated in KCI very early in the season. We'll talk about that. Mid-Buchanan 3-0 at Lathrop. They're 0-1. And I think Lathrop, they've certainly had their battles with COVID-19 as well. East Buchanan 2-0 at Penny. And North Platte has really struggled this year. They're 0-4, and they're playing at Plattsburgh in their new stadium there. Coach, breaking down the KCI conference standings, Mid-Buchanan 1-0, Hamilton 1-0, Hamilton Penny, I call them. West Platte, of course, 1-0. East Buchanan, no record yet. Lathrop, no record yet. Plattsburgh 0-1, Lawson 0-1, and North Platte 0-1, the KCI. And Coach, just kind of breaking these games down, I mean, a lot of interesting matchups to look at. East Buchanan Penny ought to be a real good one. Of course, I'm sure a lot of eyes are on this one, West Platte and Lawson, and East Buchanan, maybe Buchanan Lathrop too. Just some good interesting games coming up this Friday night.
Yeah, you know, the most interesting thing I'm looking at is Mid Buchanan and Lathrop. So yeah. I'm really not sure what Lathrop has going on. I know they got their 0-1. I think they were the same kind of boat that Lawson was. They didn't have a whole lot of practices where they played. And I know they have lots of speed coming back. I don't know what they have line-wise. I haven't had a chance to watch them on film, but I think it'll be interesting to see. I think that'll be a good test to see where Lathrop's at when they play Mid-Bucks. We know how good Mid-Buck is. Right. East Buck and Penny, same way. these Bucks are a really good team. I watched them play against South Harrison when we were scouting that game. So they have a quarterback that can really throw the ball. He's a slinger. It's going to come down to whether Penny can stop the throwing game or not. I probably foresee Penny trying to hold the ball a lot in offense and working 2 or 3 or 4 yard runs and kind of keeping the ball out of East Buck's hand. But that's going to be interesting to see how they're going to be able to handle that passing game too. As far as North Platte, I'm not too sure about them. Haven't seen them. So.
Well, yeah, we'll have an opportunity here pretty soon as we get ready for that game. But just kind of breaking it down here a little bit, West Platte's really in control of their own destiny, and I think that's the position you want to be in. And, Coach, we want to wish you and the Blue Jays well going into the game Friday night versus Lawson. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate all your coverage.